Everybody, welcome to Wednesday Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour. Captain Jorge alongside. We'll take you to three, hand it off to our good friend Phil Bonatti. His fine show behind the bench, a full 3 hours today. Sunbird Sports Show over on 790. A little bit later on, I'll tell you all about the schedule for both 1430 and 790, not only for today, but leading up to a very important NFL weekend. As everybody knows, that is courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering. They allow me the time every day to talk about the schedule. We'll do a little bit later on in the show. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof at Precision. Reach them for more information, 449-4500 or precisioeng.net. When we go over the schedule, I'll tell you about the great fundraising Ed does for his alma mater at Fresno State through the Lyles College of Engineering. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. As always, on a Wednesday, Jack Furtick with me to talk basketball. Most of the time during the conference year, it has been the postmortem on a Tuesday setup because the Bulldogs have been playing Tuesday, Saturday by and large. This week, however, a Wednesday game tonight. The women, by the way, are in Boise at 5:30, the men in Albuquerque at 6. And I want to mention up front, the women are on DMW.com and the men are on CBS Sports Network. So I'll get to Jack in just a second and we'll go over what he saw over the weekend with the Bulldogs as we talked being able to sweep the homestand and what he's looking forward to tonight against a really tough New Mexico team and a very, very tough to play, tough place to play, and that is, of course, the Pit in Albuquerque. We'll get to that in a moment. First of all, the lead dogs, I want to spend some time with you as they do every day. I want to remind you first about our buddies at KFC, the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Also, very much behind all the athletics in the Valley, supporting it every way they can. And we always have a little bit of time to tell you about the great food they have at KFC. We've known about it for years and years and years. And right now, they've got the new Zinger chicken sandwich there at the local operator's locations, a crispy hand-breaded chicken filet seasoned just right and served hot on a toasted bun with cool, crisp lettuce and creamy sauce that's there for every craving. It's bold, it's spicy, and it's finger-licking good. So whether you crave the spice or just the great taste, the Zinger delivers that with the great KFC crunch we all know and love. So don't wait. Jump on a board and grab a Zinger chicken sandwich today at those local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Also keep in mind a lot of other specials going on there. The Tuesday $10 eight-piece or eight tenders deal is still in place. They still have country fried steak deals on Wednesdays. They have the chicken pie deals as well, and the $5 bowls are there. So a lot of great and outstanding food specials for you, but particularly pay attention to Zinger chicken sandwich. It's outstanding, and we thank everybody at the local KFCs for their great support at the station and for athletics throughout the Valley. Again, talking about the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Another reminder comes courtesy of longtime sponsors and longtime friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They afford me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Again, you can reach them on the web at leesair.com or give them a call at 825-5337-825-LEES. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how we bring guests like Jack Furtick up and how Phil is able to bring up guests and callers from the general public. So mark down the hotline number, 559-320-1430. As far as the forecast goes, a little bit of same old, same old. Again, dense fog this morning, as people are aware. A high of 55 today. Then there's supposed to be a storm of some type coming toward the central coast from the south, and it's going to bust up the fog, hopefully for a couple of days, and actually might, in certain parts of the valley, not very many parts, but certain parts might get a little bit of a dusting of showers. The central coast, I think, will get a little bit of rain. Not a lot of snow around right now, but for the next couple of days at least, it might cause the fog to dissipate with a 58 tomorrow and a 59 is the high on Friday with the lows, of course, in the mid-40s. That's what creates the problem with the fog. But the fog figures to return over the weekend as we go 60, 61 Saturday, Sunday, and then we heat up to 66 Monday, 65 Tuesday, and then about the time we wrap up the 7-day right now, we might have a legitimate chance of rain on the valley floor a week from today. I talk about this all the time, the people that actually know what they're doing with this, as opposed to people like me just passing it along, will tell you that the modeling and the projections are still in flux, and they'll let you know more about it when the computer models are there a little bit later in the 7 day. But for right now, temperatures a little bit above normal, particularly when we get into the 60s, particularly mid-60s. But keep in mind, as we scoot out of January, which we will in a big hurry here already in the 21st of the month, we get to February, it's going to be sunny almost every day. That's how it seems to work in this town. Wasn't that way when I was a kid, but sure as hell is now. And I guess that's not a bad thing, is it? But for right now, we could use a little bit more rain. And obviously, it would be a good idea to get the fog out of here. Though I will tell you something, if you haven't paid attention, the national forecast, there was watching the guys from Indy for ESPN today, and that means Pat McAfee and everybody, and they had, it's so cold in the Midwest and in the South, and it's supposed to get worse today. I mean, you had a situation at O'Hare where they had to stop one of the air traffic controllers as far as the operation goes because it got so cold the pipes burst and flooded the place, and so they had to correct that. But McAfee was talking today that there was a warning today in Indy to not get too close to trees because they might explode. That's right, a tree explosion warning today because of the extreme cold. I would purport to you, if you live anywhere where there's a danger of trees exploding, you might want to consider living somewhere else. That's my weather tip for you today. Anyway, thanks to the people at Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-Lee's. And again, the Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. That's how we bring up guests like our great friend and basketball expert over these many years, Jack Furtig. Jack, how you doing?
I'm not exploding, that's for sure.
Now, you grew up in Jersey, and I know it gets cold in Jersey. Did you ever have the danger of trees exploding? I'm just wondering.
Not unless you crossed the wrong people.
Tree Rollins. There was a danger of Tree Rollins exploding and going after somebody when he played for the Hawks. If you remember, Tree Rollins was a very large man, and I think is still with us. I don't know. But when he played for the Hawks, Lionel Hollins, who was playing for the Blazers, took a swing at him, and then it dawned on him what he had done, and Lionel just decided it was time to blow dodge. He just took off running. And I don't blame him. That's discretion being the better part of valor right there.
Yeah. It's
like Jeff, you and I talked about when Latrell Sprewell with the Warriors started to choke P.J. Carlissimo, and which is, you know, goes back a ways now. And Al Addles was the general manager, and somebody asked afterward, how would Al have handled that as a coach? And the response was he wouldn't have had to, because there was nobody crazy enough to ever try to choke Al Addles. You might have ended up in a grave in about 20 years, you know. Speaking of a guy we've talked about, the late, great Al Addles, one of the all-time gentlemen off the court, and also the toughest man to ever put on a basketball jersey. That's why his nickname was the Destroyer. And he was Jersey tough, right, Jack? No doubt about it. I mean, New Jersey tough.
You didn't mess with Al Addles, that's for sure. And he was such a nice guy. But you didn't mess with Al Addles, no.
No, well, but I had mentioned this before. I'll mention it one more time. The Warriors lost. They won an NBA title in 75. They should have won the next year, but they lost a series to Phoenix when the Warriors had the best record in the league. They should not have lost. But part of it was, in those days, if you fouled in the backcourt, it was on automatic 3-2 in the bonus. And so Al had a decision to make late, and he opted to call a timeout and move things to the front court. And Phoenix behind tried to – they fouled deliberately, and Derek Dickey, the late, great Derek Dickey, was a terrific guy and a very good player for the University of Cincinnati, missed a free throw. It enabled Phoenix to tie a game. The Warriors lost in overtime and ended up losing the series. Okay, Al, several years later, is in Fresno scouting Rod Higgins, and Al was not only the coach but the general manager of the Warriors at the same time. And he's seated next to me at Selland Arena, and he was being very cordial and very nice. He always was. And I decided to ask him about that play. And it had been like 6 years removed or 5 years removed. And he didn't know where I was headed immediately, but then he pretty quickly got the drift. And so I said, so Al, because the following year when you played, you had a same scenario against the then New York Nets. It was the opening game supposedly for Julius Erving with the ABA moving to the NBA. And Julius, of course, as you know, was dealt to the Sixers before that game got started. But I asked Al because Al inbounded in backcourt and John Williamson stole it and won the game for the Nets. So I said, Al, did you make that decision because of what happened in Phoenix the year before? And Jack, he shot me a look that would have melted steel. And I'm telling you, I almost wetted myself. I'm not kidding. And oh, yeah. Then he broke out into a smile and he goes, nah, maybe that had something to do with it. And it's a legitimate question. And I wanted to say, yeah, but you scared the you-know-what out of me. Before.
Yeah, you're not kidding, right?
And he didn't say anything. He just stared at me with that look. And you know that voice he had, which sounded like a bear being
right.
Unexpectedly woken up during hibernation. Yeah, it was frightening. And then years after that, his son, Al Addles, I think it was Al Addles the third, Al Addles the second, I can't remember where it was, where Al was in the lineage of Al Addles, the name, whether he was a second or not to his dad. But he was on with me and was telling me what a wonderful dad Al Addles was. He said, the only thing is, my dad never had to tell me anything twice. Okay? So
that's for sure. Yeah.
There's your lesson. All right. Well, that's a basketball segue for us, Jack. Let's start with the weekend that was. It was a kind of a figurative fist fight with Wyoming. That game never got away from either team, but the Bulldogs came back to win. They got what you and I had talked about, the opportunity to sweep a homestand. They go in 15.5-point underdogs tonight against a good New Mexico team in a tough place to play, the Pit. Do you give them a puncher's chance at all tonight, or is this one where you say if they can win the rest of their home games and, as you've talked, split on the road, this would be an outstanding finish of the conference season, but this isn't one that you expect them to win?
This would be a big-time win for them because of the fact that New Mexico's one of the best teams in the league, and because the Pit is such a hard place to play. But the guys have a ton of confidence now with the two-game winning streak, and they're shooting pretty well. And it's not just one guy. DJ Douglas coming back really helps them out. They needed him badly because they were leaning on Jake Highbreeder so much. And, you know, you lean on one guy. It's kind of easy to take one guy out of the game. And that's what was happening with Jake. I mean, he had 9 points in one game, although it turned into 25 because he had 16 for 16 from the free throw line. So if you don't foul him, it's kind of like he's, you know, you can hold him down. So DJ coming and helps. Cameron Foss is so hot and cold, but when he's hot, boy, it's really, that's kind of, you know, it's kind of tough to guard everybody. You know, we've talked about Deshaun Gorey so much and his doing as well as he's done. You know, they're in a pretty good mood right now. And, you know, I wouldn't, I certainly wouldn't put money on the game. But I think that,
Jack, you cut out a bit. Repeat that. You're referring to the triple overtime game? What were you referring to? Because you cut out there.
No. The game last year.
At
New Mexico, I think they were down two touchdowns right away.
Yeah,
it was like 15-0, I think.
Yeah, a slow start would be an understatement. But look, Jack, you brought it up last week, and I know it is axiomatic because it's true. What you want to do is win at home and split on the road. So let's look at it now. Where you're at, you can say in many respects the worst is over because your singular meeting with the Aztecs done. You don't get San Diego State here this year because of the quirky schedule. You already played Utah State here. Those are the two teams that I don't think you're going to beat, whether you're playing them in a parking lot or playing them at home or whatever. You still have the trip to Logan. But beyond that, everything at home in particular, and again, I know they could certainly lose to Grand Canyon on Saturday at home. The Bulldogs can lose to anybody at home. I know that. But just looking at this schedule and knowing that you're after you play in Albuquerque tonight, and then you're home against Grand Canyon. You go to Air Force, and it can be tough. Sometimes the weather there can be freezing in Clune Arena, which is really not an arena. It's just a gym. It's like Harmon Pavilion up at Cal was all those years, right? It looks a lot like Harmon Gym. But you have a pretty good opportunity, and the rest of your home schedule – they are all winnable games now that you're not going to face San Diego State and that Utah State has already come in. So could you make the argument, as I asked Jackson yesterday, that this team will indeed sweep the rest of the home games and they have at least a puncher's chance of splitting on the road? I mean, can you make that argument?
You can, yeah, but, you know, that's you know, let's not get over our skis. I think it's
I understand that.
The old adage of one. Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. You know, you can. Yeah, but I mean, it's you know, the old banal, trite, one game at a time motto is probably the best way for these guys to look at this, because I think that's the way they've been doing it, and this year, they're going into games thinking they can win. Last year, I think they went into games hoping they could win. So, you know, let's see. Let's see how it plays out. But you're right. Because of the last two games, you now have hope anyway that, yeah, we can go in and play with guys. And the fact that the league is down. This, believe it or not, after getting, I think, five bids last year, could be a one-bid league this year, unless somebody upsets Utah State in the conference tournament.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week. That's what the experts are saying, as you referenced. If you were looking at a singular at-large, the only team that would deserve an at-large would be Utah State. And if they go on, of course, to win the conference tournament, then that takes that out as well. The other thing, Jack, about where we're at with this conference right now is that for a Fresno State, you can start to pick and choose, much like the NBA teams do, when, because of your schedule, you're not going to risk somebody in a game that you might not be able to win because the other ones going forward, you have a great chance to win. I bring this up in regard to Collins. We know he's a game time decision. But is there a great temptation tonight to say, you know what, Collins would certainly help tonight, but as long as we don't get him further injured, we're going to be in really great shape the rest of the way with him, so let's go ahead and sit him tonight. Does that enter into your psyche as Vance would look at this game?
I don't know. I think that's between Vance and the doctors and Collins. We don't know how you know, a game time decision could mean, you know, I feel okay, but let's just not get ahead of ourselves. I don't know how bad it is. He did come back. Same thing with Douglas. Douglas got hurt for a while and then, you know, he was back. 'Cause that's a worry too, that he goes down again. But, I don't know. I hate to, if you don't play Collins, it's basically forfeiting the game, and you hate to do that. So, but I think it's definitely up to the doctors. And, you know, if the doctors feel like it would be better for him to take this one off, and he'd be much he'd be in much better shape and wouldn't have the chance of injuring it further to sit him out more games, then, yeah, it'd be a good idea to sit him out. But that's up to, you know, that's why you have doctors and trainers.
Right. But we saw it happen already at San Diego, where he didn't play, and we saw the result now. But again, the right. argument can be made, justifiably so, that they would have lost regardless. Now, the difference, and you're well aware of it, Jack, in the NBA, when this happens, it's because you're in the midst of back-to-back games or 3 and 4 nights or what have you. In college, you do have a substantial gap between games, you know, in this case, Wednesday to Saturday. I know they were talking to Will Richard, of course, as you know, won a national championship, talking to him last night, because he's with the Warriors right now, about the rigors of the NBA. And he goes, hey, at this time in a college season, we'd already be done with the number of games we played and well past it. He goes, here, we're not even halfway finished with everything
we have to do. And the other thing in the NBA is you have 82 of them.
Yeah. And then the playoffs after that. And so, you know,
I
would think this, you're probably right. If he believes, you never want to mess with ankles, hammies, any of this stuff that you can further injure. You know, you never want to do that. But if he feels like he can go, it's certainly a way to keep you in the game. And then I do have to ask you about the maturation of Collins. And, you know, you brought up the great point. We think of him as a young guy in regard to college because he hasn't been here long. But in reality, Jack, because he has moved around a little bit and had to sit out for a while, he is not a quote-unquote young guy in regard to being an 18- to 22-year-old kind of situation. But he does still have to garner game experience. Is he getting better, markedly better, in your opinion, about when, never mind, as we've talked, the mid-range that he's using more, which is smart, but is he getting better in regard to when he needs to go for his own offense, when he needs to get other people involved? Because as we've talked, that's the trickiest situation. I don't care if you're Nate Archibald when he lead the NBA in assists and scoring. You have to know how to keep your teammates involved before they're standing watching you play. Is he getting better with this?
You would call him now more a pass
first. Too unselfish, right?
He's more a pass first guard. Yeah, I think that Vance has even said he wants him to try to score more, but you do have the other guys contributing a lot more than you had last year. You know, you got guys who can score and who have scored, and you know, he doesn't need to score. Last year, he kind of, maybe he chased shots a little bit. This year, Vance wants him to score a little more because he's giving it up too soon. He does, and he has the ability to get by people. So, like you said, that mid-range floater really, you know, is a weapon now. As last year, he tried to take the ball all the way to the basket and got his shot blocked often. So I think he's maturing as a player, and the results have been seen on the court. I think you know your point guard is vital to whether you win or lose, and they're on a 2-game winning streak right now. So, you know, he's doing a heck of a job. I think he probably ought to keep doing what he's doing as opposed to, you know, try, when you mess with guys and you try to get them to do more, sometimes they're comfortable in what they're doing. And as long as you're getting the results, just leave them alone.
Yeah. As a coach, you know, we the old running joke about Red Auerbach, that when the Celtics were busy winning 8 straight titles in 11 and 13, and admittedly it was a whole different world, it was a 9-team league, and it was hardly balanced, but they would say that he would light up the victory cigar before the game even started. That's how comfortable he was in things. And I know, as a coach, you always would love to be up 25 with 3 minutes to go, but as far as, again, the growth of a club, winning close games is more important than blowing people out, because you know eventually you're going to run into those close games, and you have to have the wherewithal, both physically and mentally, to win. How heartened are you that Fresno State was able to win that figurative slugfest, the kind of game that's been getting away heretofore, that did not get away against Wyoming, and to a lesser degree, the same with Colorado State?
Yeah, the Wyoming game was a back and forth. It was a tough game. And to win that game, I think, gives the guys some confidence. That's, like you said, that's what you need to win, because you're not going to have games that are, you know, you're going to lead from start to finish, although they kind of did, you know, a couple games. But you're going to have – other teams are pretty good, too. You know, it's like the league is down, but the league came down a little bit and we came up a little bit. So it's not like we leapfrogged a lot of people. And that's why the Wyoming win and Colorado State were such big wins, because when you look at comparative scores, you know, from others, we beat some teams that beat other teams, and that's a good sign down the road anyway.
When you roll into the conference tournament, if you are, again, playing well, and if certainly you don't have to necessarily win them all at home, but let's just say for the sake of argument, what they do is they win the vast majority of the remainder of their home games. Maybe one gets away, and on the road, they're close to 500. Jack, do you go into the conference tournament saying that Fresno State, save for playing San Diego or Utah State, is very viable to make a run if the bracketing is right? Or is that something that, from a coaching standpoint right now, and maybe even from a fan standpoint, it can't even be on your mind at the moment? I mean, where are you at with this? Is it just really living in the moment with this team? Because, like you said, you don't want to get over your skis. We've talked about it over and over again. My point of view is I'll take the roughly 60 games from last year and this year and lump them together at the end and see what we've got after 2 years. But is there an optimistic part of you about the conference tournament with this team? And because, you know, teams are built for the regular season. Some are built better for the postseason. Is this a team that would be built better for the conference tourney? Because if the shooting happens to be hot for 3 or 4 days, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, the bracketing is what matters. So it all depends on matchups. Some teams you play much better against than others. And some teams, you know their style is going to bother you. The greatest example, we were playing great with one of Jerry's teams. Matter of fact, the first team that went to the NCAA tournament in, I believe, 16 years. And they showed, they had the team, you know, we were one of the teams that the ESPN was showing as the brackets came out. And it said, you know, 9 seed Fresno State, 8 seed Wisconsin. And Jerry's face just totally dropped. He knew that Wisconsin was going to be a tough team. That's not the team we wanted to play. He wanted to play a team that wanted to play fast, you know, fast and loose, you know, chuck and duck. And to play Wisconsin and it slowed down and on the line, up the line, and, you know, passed many times, he knew that was just a horrible matchup for us. And so it's all about matchups. You know, the following year, we were also a 9 seed. And the 8 seed was Cal, and we ended up beating them. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's all about who you're playing, at what time you're playing, and obviously how healthy you are.
And in that 9-8 matchup, you also know that barring the unforeseen 116 upset, you're looking at the 1 seed in the second round, which never helps your point of view if you're someone who's really looking to make a long run in the tournament. I think with Fresno State, though, to your point, Jack, if they can pick up even a W, one W in the conference tournament, I think they would feel as though they're continuing to move forward. We'll see how it plays out. The thing I want to ask you about, you brought it up last week, and I mean, I guess it's, I don't even know if it's the elephant in the room anymore, because it's such a part now of college athletics that it's front and center, to the extent that I don't know, as you know, the elephant in the room is something that everybody's trying to ignore that you know damn well is there. I don't know that people are even bothering to try to ignore it anymore. The ever-present danger of somebody else having a bigger bank account than you do and players leaving. Gore, somebody we brought up last week.
Yeah.
Jack, I would assume that from the coaching staff's point of view, again, you're going to live in the moment. You're going to do everything you can do. But the bottom line is, if he continues to play like this, with the fact that he has so much eligibility left, what in the world do you do, Jack, if you know the moneyed aristocracy somewhere may look at him and say he's one of the missing pieces we need in big money land here so that, you know, somebody can make a run for a national championship? You just have to accept that as part of how this works now, not necessarily like it,
but accept it. I mean, you can hear it now. I'm up in the suite, and Chris McCune, who's a huge Fresno State and supporter and big Vance supporter as well, even said, "Oh yeah, boy Gorey, he's playing great. He sure is making himself a lot of money." And that's the way you look at college now. You know, Wilson Jacks, he's not an offensive threat, but if you need a big body who can rebound and protect the basket in terms of putting your hands up and having a 260-pound monster, you know, in front of you, he's made money for himself too. So basically what you're saying is you hope your guys develop, you hope they get better, but you realize if they do, it's going to cost you.
And
as well as the guys you're trying to get for the following year.
Then how do you build continuity, Jack? And we've been down this road before, but what I'm saying is, you know, we're talking about in regard to football. Okay, you had a stable of running backs, five deep at Fresno State. You know, some of them eligibility was going to be done, but you looked at the core three and you said, okay, sure hope Speedy Luke sticks around. Bryson Donaldson's local. Brandon Ramirez is local. Okay, I hope that, you know, seizes the day for us and carries through that they're going to stay. But you also have enough depth around that, you know, if somebody leaves, and it doesn't appear any of those three are leaving, by the way, that you've got enough because you have this very large roster, particularly in college, that you can draw from football-wise. Jack, you don't have that in basketball, do you? You do not have the ready guys to plug in and play, do you?
No. The way you get continuity in basketball is you get the guys to improve. You've got the guys you have. You know how much you paid them. And if they do a great job, you're just going to have to pay them more. That's the way it goes, because they're going to get offers, even though nobody's supposed to touch somebody until their name is in the transfer portal. Guys always know, because they're people. Everybody has people now. And their people will tell them, look, you know, you can get this by going. For example, Vance loved Elijah Price. He thought he was a great culture guy. He was a guy who could really rebound, block some shots, put some weight on him. He's really going to be a heck of a player as the, you know, years go on. But he just didn't think he was worth the $390,000 that Nevada gave him. And similarly, they lost Amunique, who Vance wanted the red shirt, but he had to play because of the injuries. They lost Amunique to Wichita State for $250,000. And they lost Crawford to Rhode Island for $250,000. Not because we didn't want him anymore, just couldn't afford him. You know, you've got to, when you have, like you said, you have a, people who have more money don't have to worry. I heard Kentucky's basketball NIL is $22 million. Now, if you have $22 million, you want your guys to do as well as they can and be a superstar, and we'll pay you like one the following year. You know, we don't have that. If, I mean, Gorey's playing so well and showing so much, and having three more years, or, you know, the NCAA, who knows, four, five, six more years eligibility, the way they're doing it now, you know, people are going to say, hey, you know what? You know, this guy, hey, he, like you said, he could be what we're looking for. He could be the missing piece. He's a guy with unbelievable upside, and, you know, we're going to pay him X. Well, if you have X plus three, that's good for you. You can keep them. Otherwise you're going to lose them, or you got to raise more money.
And as we've talked, Jack, basketball, the uniqueness of it is that, and certainly in football, you know, a critical quarterback coming in obviously can change everything. Look at what Mendoza did, you know, coming from Cal to Indiana. But basketball, more than any other sport, or certainly more than football, if we're comparing the two main sports, the main money-driven sports that are the ones that move the needle for the national contracts, that you and I both know that in football, it takes a multiplicity of guys to build a team. In basketball, you know, one, two guys can change everything. I mean, that's all there is to it. And it can change your fortunes entirely. So you do have, and you know, the full-time assistants that are at the moneyed aristocracy schools. In this day and age, as you and I have discussed, the technology is such that you know there are 16, 17 assistants, Jack, scanning the internet, watching games, looking for guys that maybe are playing at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, your time, right back in the West Coast or out in Hawaii or whatever. They're looking for guys because what you brought up with Amunique is, I think, probably the case in point. It's not that you want to hide somebody, but if you don't have to play somebody, you can redshirt them, you got them the next year. The minute you put them out there in this day and age, Jack, all it takes is one to fall in love with them, and if they've got the financial wherewithal, your guy is out of there, right?
Oh, absolutely. Even if you redshirt a guy, if you're redshirting a guy that somebody else was recruiting the previous year and you beat them out for that guy, you know, they may say, you know what, this guy's fine. Now, in the terms of the oof, you know, McCann has been kind of a downer. And last year, they thought he was going to be maybe one of the five starters. And yet, boy, it, you know, didn't turn out that way. He's got limited minutes, and he's, I don't know, maybe never recovered from the time off he had when he went home to Africa.
Right. Jack, last thing for you. Tonight, you have a talented New Mexico team. They've lost a couple of times in conference, one at San Diego State, the other surprisingly to Boise State, who has really struggled so far this year. What do the Bulldogs have to do tonight? Is this, we talk about if you're, you know, the old John Wooden line, I don't even scout the other team. And as I told you, that was easy for John Wooden to say because he probably had the second best team in America on his bench, right? So I'm not so sure that he had to worry too much about scouting people. For everybody else who didn't have that talent advantage, can the Bulldogs go in a game like this and say, okay, we're going to play our game, that's all there is to it, or are there things about New Mexico tonight that the Bulldogs have to change in order to stay in this game? They have to change the pace at all, anything that they have to do to alter their particular game, to avoid, like you said, what happened where you look up and you're down, what, 25-1 or whatever the hell it was?
Yeah. No, this I think this year, Vance has harped on taking care of the ball. And the games where we have between 8 and 10 turnovers on the road, it's going to be, you hope maybe limit it to 12. You've got to take care of the ball because every turnover is an empty possession. You know, we talked about John Chaney. I'd rather have a bad shot than a turnover because a bad shot can go in and a bad shot can be, you know, rebounded. Turnovers, just handing the ball to the other team. And especially in the case of the Bulldogs, they were having these live ball turnovers, which, you know, immediately turned into 2 points for the other team. It's different if you have a travel or if you throw the ball out of bounds, as opposed to throwing the ball guard to guard, getting it picked off, and having guy going down and dunking it. You got to take care of the ball. And, of course, because this team, you know, hangs their hat on shooting, you're going to have your shooters shoot. You go into the game figuring they're going to have somebody close to Highbreeder at all times, which is tough for him, but should open the game up for some other guys. And if you can get the shooting you've been getting from the other guys, even Bastion Reber made a huge three, you know, the other day. So if you have guys who can keep you in the game while, you know, you're playing 4-on-4 because they're basically sticking a guy to high breeder, you know, maybe loosen it up, get him a few shots at the end. You know, that's the only way to get in. You've got to be able to shoot well, and you've got to be able to take care of the ball. Those two things are the biggest factors today. Obviously, yeah. Also, we can't give up as many offensive rebounds as we did against Wyoming and Colorado State and expect to win, especially on the road.
And if they could continue to shoot 23 or 24 from the line, as they did against Colorado State, that helps too. I don't know. But
well,
by the way,
it helps having one guy go 16 for 16.
That's always a leg up on going 23 or 24. You're absolutely right. And tonight, of course, you know, they're going to see a team that has four double-digit scores, guys that are well-balanced scoring-wise, you know, scoring in the low teens, but they're there to augment the very appropriately named J.R. Rock, who's their center, who's 7'1", 260 pounds, and is basically there to just take up room and then to try to beat you from the perimeter. And because of it, Jack, it's going to be a difficult game, the usual madhouse there. The Bulldogs, as you know, finally broke through a couple of years ago and won at the Pit, which, you know, you were bringing up the disaster last year. I had referenced and we've talked about the Moose Steubing game when the Bulldogs lost a triple overtime game that should have sent them to the NCAAs. It's always been a tough place to play. So in closing, if I were to say, and again, you're not a gambling guy, life itself is enough of a gamble for both of us these days, as you know.
Amen.
If I were to give you the 15.5 tonight, would you be confident in saying the Bulldogs get under that 15.5? Just wondering.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, but, you know, then again, I am a little bit prejudiced. But college basketball right now, if you saw the UCLA game last night, they upset number 4 in the country, Purdue. Yeah. And the guy who hits the big shot is Donovan Dent, who was player of the year last year for New Mexico. And he was player of the year in the Mountain West. So, you know, how does New Mexico still be good when they lost a guy as good as Dent? You know, it's just, that's what it is. It's a reshuffling every year. Right. What we're looking at is the G League.
Yeah. Well, also, Mick Cronin not only won, but then took time to complain about the terrible scheduling of the Big Ten. So even the victory didn't salve the wound. Let's just say this. The natives are a little restless of the West Coast about joining a conference that's from the Midwest. Imagine that. It would be like Stanford having a problem with playing in the ACC. Should have thought of that before you chased the money. Although, I'll tell you what, they could have thought of it. And trust me, Faison, they still would have chased the money. That's how it works. Well, I'll tell you one thing. We talk about it over and over again as I let you go, Jack. Don Allmire had it right. In sports, it doesn't matter what the question is. The answer is always money. And every day, it's become readily apparent, just like watching Indiana win in Miami the other night. And who do we see sitting in the stands? Mark Cuban. What a major surprise. The man who may be responsible for them winning as Cignetti or Mendoza. That's right. And the last I checked, he didn't even play a down. All right. Jack, I hope people give you a call to join the Timeout Club, 559-287-3305, ferdyjack@AOL.com. Talk to you next week. Who knows? Maybe they'll come up with one tonight, and certainly I hope Saturday they have a great one against Grand Canyon. Take care, my friend.
Let's hope so. Go Dogs.
All right, Jack. Be well. I'll see you. All right, guys. Our great friend Jack Ferdy will take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil, the full 3 hours of his outstanding show Behind the Bench coming up. Bulldog Hour continues on this Wednesday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Hi, buddy. Welcome back. 253. A couple minutes to come show. Handed off to Phil. His great show Behind the Bench. The full 3 hours today. Tell you about the schedule for both 1430 and 790 right now, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his terrific business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape, architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500, or Precision ENG, or Precision ENG if you'd prefer, .net. You can find all that information there. And as always, we commend Ed for the great fundraising he does for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at a graduate of Fresno State through the Lyles College of Engineering. And any of their fundraising always has the basis of unifying athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years, and a lot of those graduates from the Lyles College of Engineering at Fresno State go to work for Ed at Precision Civil Engineering. As far as the schedule goes, one of the unusual nights tonight, we have no play-by-play. We do have the Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics, hosted by Paul Metters over on 790, our sister station, The Deuce, 6 to 7 in the evening. Check that out. Also, Paul has his fine and long-running show on 1430 on Saturday mornings from First String Sports, 10 a.m. to noon. That's Central Valley Sports Report. Phil will be up for 3 hours today, normally 3 to 6 with his great show Behind the Bench. Sometimes it's moved around because of play-by-play. On Thursdays, Phil is at Fashion Furniture with our buddy Rod Avedikian. Speaking of somebody who is a great benefactor to all athletics in the Valley, Rod has been that way for a long, long time. And, of course, we talk about Fashion Furniture all the time. El Paso across from River Park, best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. And when Phil's there, you have the great opportunity to come in and see him or give Phil a call on the Lee's Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Always some good eats around as well when Phil is there at Fashion Furniture. So stop by on Thursday starting at 3 o'clock and see him. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. First names are fine. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. Get the app, makes it a lot easier to listen. And then the final notes about all of this. Lakers winning last night in Denver, where Jokic, as I think people know, has been out for a while. Though the Lakers were down double digits, I think they're down 16 at one point, came back to win. They're with us beginning tomorrow again. The Sharks are over on 790 throughout the week. You have an opportunity, listen or check them out on the Bay Area feed. The 698 feed on DirecTV, which is the NBC California feed. The NBC Bay Area feed is where the Warriors and the Giants and stuff are on. The California feed is where the Sharks and the A's are on, if you have DirecTV. But if you have a chance, you want to check out Macklin Celebrini, who is a teenager. Of course, he is the son of the Warriors director of medicine, Rick Celebrini, but Macklin Celebrini is a revelation, and the Sharks are actually playing good hockey again, so check that out. We have the Sharks game for you throughout the season. And for us, the big feature event this weekend, of course, will be the NFC and AFC title games. You have a noon start, so I think it'll be 11:30 pregame for the Patriots and the Broncos, and when that one wraps up, they'll kick it off just after 3:30 in Seattle as the Rams and the Seahawks finish up the trilogy for this year. They have played two outstanding games, with the Rams getting away with one at SoFi about week 11 or thereabouts, when the Seahawks missed a field goal at the end. And then we all saw that classic game just a few weeks ago up at Lumen, where the Rams had the lead get away and the Seahawks came back, and Charbonnet actually recovered that crazy fumble that didn't look like a fumble, that was a lateral, that didn't look like a lateral, and whatever it was, it ended up with the Seahawks being able to win the thing on a two-point conversion later on. And because of it, that game is in Seattle on Sunday and not at SoFi. So we'll see. Although I will tell you this, I think whoever wins that game is going to end up winning the Super Bowl. It's no knock against the Patriots, the Broncos, but without Bo Nix, I don't see the Broncos even being able to get by the Patriots. And even though Vrabel's done a great job in resurrecting that great dynasty of years gone by, I don't think this team in New England is ready to take the next step. So I think whoever wins the Seahawks-Ram game will win the Super Bowl, which means Devontae Adams, if the Rams were to win, would be the first of that Mount Rushmore we have with Aaron Judge and Paul George, etc., to cash in the title. So we'll see how it plays out, but we'll have the Westwood One feeds for you over the weekend, both games. Anyway, before we wrap it up here, I want to remind you one more time about our buddies at KFC. get ready to turn up the heat with their new Zinger Chicken Sandwich. It's there at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. It's a crispy hand-breaded chicken filet seasoned just right and served hot on a toasted bun with cool, crisp lettuce and creamy sauce. It hits every craving. It's great. It's bold. It's spicy. And it's always at KFC finger-licking good. So whether you crave the spice or just crave the great taste, the Zinger delivers that for you with the crunch you always know and love from KFC. If you stop on in, you have not only the chicken sandwich that is great, but you've got the $10 deal on Tuesdays for the bucket, the 8 pieces. You've got the chicken pot pies. You've got the country fried steak. You've got the $5 bowls. A lot of great food at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and we thank them every day for being great benefactors across the valley and supporting athletics and, of course, supporting the station. So thanks to those local operators at KFC. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. You can give Phil a call on the Lee's Air hotline momentarily, 559-320-1430. Thanks, as always, to Jorge. Thanks to Jack Fertig. Tomorrow, Matt Norville with us. The women are in Boise playing at 5:30 today, Mountain West Network. The men, 6 o'clock, CBS Sports Network in Albuquerque. We'll talk about it, both games, with Matt tomorrow. Stay tuned for Phil on KFIG Fresno.